Incredible opportunity for me because this is my mom. And for those that don't know, her name is Sherry. And man, my mom's a massive part and obviously of my life and always has been, and helps do our small groups here at our church. And so this is pretty special for us. Kind of dreamed of this day that one day we'd be able to do something like this, right, Mom?
Yes,
so so we're thankful.
Yes. So today, I thought I'm going to start this with something kind of funny. In our world, in our family, when it comes to technology, mom's behind, all right? First to admit, I am behind. And so when mom does kind of funny stuff or just I don't know what I'm doing, the kids usually look at me and go, oh, that was a Sherryism. So meaning that I'm not with it. So I thought it would be fun. I continue to learn about my cell phone. And I come across these, and they're a hoot and a half. And I want to see if some of you can just relate. Let's look at the first one. All right, please stop changing the Google logo so much. I like the original one. Mom, I don't change the logo. Google changes it. On my computer? You don't run the Google? If I did, I wouldn't be driving a 2004 Ford.
That's good.
The next one. What does IDKLYNTTYL mean? I don't know. Love you. Talk to you later. Okay, I'll ask your sister. The last one here is, I think there's something wrong with my phone. I don't think my texts are going through. Yeah, they're getting through. How can you be sure? I love technology. We do have fun with it. All right, and it wouldn't be a Mother's Day if I didn't have a mommy moment. So I want to show you my babies. Aren't they awesome? So that's your Pastor Kyle in the red, and that's his big
it's
brother.
My brother watching over me from heaven.
So, it's the days of Olin Mills.
Olin Mills,
yes.
Old school throwback.
Identify, yes. My sweet babies.
Thank you, Austin, for watching over me.
All right, let's look at that. There's my crew. How about that crazy crew? That's a little look of us behind the scenes, and then shortly after that, we started having more to be added to the family, more grandbabies. All right, let's look at the next. Aw, look at my man. Look at my little Aiden down there with his mohawk. And then, this is my mama. And that's my husband, Kent. And that is a great picture of my mom because that's pretty how ornery she is. So a lot of the kids' orneriness comes from mom. And then this actually was just from this last Thanksgiving. And that's my mama with all her great grandbabies. Isn't that beautiful? Amen.
Awesome. Well, since it's Mother's Day, you know, this is kind of something on my heart this year to do, something a little bit different, and obviously doing this with my mom is such the greatest honor, and Mom, I just want you to know how much I love you, and I honor you on this Mother's Day, and I'm thankful for you, and I'll just say this, Mom, you've always been one of my heroes, and without you, I know I'm not here, and through all the years and good and bad that we've been through, man, I would never trade anything for it, so I love you, and I'm so thankful for you. And on this Mother's Day, we called this message, Don't Forget to Call Home. I don't know if some of you were like me in the sense when you kind of grew up and went outside to play or, you know, you went to a friend's house, you know, mom was usually saying, hey, don't forget to check in or don't forget to call home and check in, you know. And so that's kind of where this originated from. But a real value for us at Elevate City, and I really hope it was expressed even through our baby dedications because Bethany and I, as with our kids, we take it very seriously, but we take it very seriously with your kids. Our kids' ministry is so important to us, and what is happening even right now, your kids are in small groups, they're learning about God, they're having conversations, and some of the younger ones, they're being prayed over all the time, and so I just think it's an amazing place for ministry. It's happening, and family is so important to us as a church, and so that's why when you see things like, you know, out in the lobby or the signs, people holding signs that say, welcome home, because we want it to feel home. We want it to be like a breath of fresh air when you leave this place today. And we want you to be better because you came today and experienced more of God and with people. Amen? And so, and also, we want to, you know, also build families for those that don't have families. And a lot that's done through our small groups and people being able to network in relationships and friendships. It's one of the best ways Honestly, our greatest goal in our small groups is that at the end of the semester that everybody, man, at least leaves with one friend. And we've come out one of the greatest semesters of our church history and had 40-plus small groups, and so many friendships were made. And one of my personal favorite, I won't say her name, but she's precious to me, one of our elderly ladies in our church. Small groups are very important to her, but Sundays are very important. She doesn't have any family. And she told me, I'll never forget one Sunday, she just said, Pastor, I just want to thank you because of Elevate Sitting, the people that go here and the love and the genuineness of people that's real. She was like, I look forward to Sundays. She said, can I tell you? She said, I love you, but I really love the hugs that I get. She said, it's the only place I get a hug at every week. And so I just think that goes to continue to support, man, just the love and the realness that's in people. And so we're so thankful for that. And we know for us at Elevate City that church is more than just a service on a Sunday, that we're family and we want to do life together. And that's why we have a saying around here at Elevate City to never do life alone. And so that's our heart.
So family is very important to us here at Elevate, and family was very important to Jesus. And so in John 19, 25 through 27, here's a little snapshot of what's going on. Jesus is hanging on the cross. These words are spoken just shortly before his death. And it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, I want to pause and just remind you, he's hanging on the cross, my friends. And with the power that he had left in his voice, and the tenderness of his eyes, he looked down at his mama, and he looked down at one of his best friends, we know as John the Beloved, and he said, dear woman, here is your son. To the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, the disciple took her into his home. How wonderful it is in the very last minutes of Jesus' life, he still was not only making provision for us that we would have an eternal home, but in that minute as a son, he was making provision for his mama.
Yeah, so we want to spend a few minutes just also talking about, you know, how do we keep family a priority and keeping our family first? And I think one of the most crucial words that we have to be within our families is intentional. We have to be very intentional in our times together, very intentional in our conversations and what we're doing together. And so we're going to spend some time really just talking of why our home lives are so important and really how it does define us and how it really impacts us, not just at an early age, but even as we grow and as we get older.
So we know the basics of life are to be learned from home: kindness, manners, respect, forgiveness, that kind of stuff. And a great deal of evidence suggests that the ability to form stable relationships begins in infancy in a child's earliest experiences with a caregiver, and more times than not, it is the mama, who reliably meets the infant's needs for food and care, protection, stimulation, social interaction, that kind of thing.
And so I think the important thing for us to remember is God always intended the home to be a place where our values come from. One of the reasons why I love my wife, and I want to honor my wife on this Mother's Day because she's amazing, and she leads with an unbelievable grace in our home, and our home is better because of her, and she leads the way so strong in the grace that she has with our family. So, babe, I love you, and I just honor you today, too. And the thing that we've grown to know is the enemy will relentlessly want to cause disruption within our home and to take away from peace. And so I think this is something that we all know that that this is important, and we even may have an ideal kind of world scenario in mind of how things should plan out. But in the real world, it's easy to forget because we have so much competing for our time, don't we? There's a lot of different things that are happening within our lives. And so, man, how do we do this? And I think in the ideal world that every night we eat dinner together around the table and you know, have conversations about the day, that's kind of the ideal world. But in the real world, we eat in the minivan on the way to the baseball game. I mean, know what I'm talking about. And so in the ideal world, we read one of the classics, you know, before the kids go to bed at night. But in the real world, a lot of kids are playing video games before they go to bed at night. Or in the ideal world, we take long walks as families. We walk around the neighborhood and we have conversations following our day. But in the real world, we text each other with our cell phones. And so I think it's true. And so I want this today, maybe today it really is just this. It's a reminder. Maybe it's helping us to maybe even reprioritize some things. We just want to minister to people today and reminding them and all of us of the value of our home. And so my mom is going to spend some time over the next couple of minutes just talking about what we should value. And then I'm just going to give you really kind of the three things of how we should do it, how we can practically put some things in action.
So today we celebrate women, not just moms, but women. And what you continue to give as women and what you have given. And so we want to honor the women that are incredible daughters. For many of you, you are now a parent to your parent. If you know what I'm saying, give me a little nod. That's men and women, right? You are now the parent of adult children. Can I get an amen? You know, I've said for years now that sometimes I just wish we could go back to everybody's little. Because it's a whole other world, isn't it, when your kids become adults. Can I get an amen? Yes. I've had to learn how to zip it, you know. So we want to touch that to the moms with aging parents, to aunts and sisters, pet moms, and spiritual moms, moms struggling today with infertility. It's a huge, huge struggle. Our hearts go out to you. Those of you that are hurting today because you have lost a child, I experienced a miscarriage in between Austin and Kyle, the loss of a child. Those that are struggling today because your mom is no longer with us, we're thinking about you today. We love you. We know today can be a hard day for you too. And for some of you ladies that just have simply chosen not to be a mom, and that's okay too. You're to be celebrated because you still continue to give. You give in your world, and we honor that. So sitting here, I can fully identify with so many aspects of being a woman and a mom, but I also realize that many of you will not be able to relate maybe to my story and some of the things we're going to share about our family, because you were really blessed to be raised in a good, solid home. Mom and Dad still together. You know, you had a great spiritual insight and covering your whole life, and I want to say to you today, please know you have a testimony. Please know you have a story. Please know that folks like me, we need to hear your story in small groups. I'm asking you, don't, if you were raised in a good, solid home, please describe to us what that looks like. It's not going to offend us, but it gives us hope.
Yeah.
It lets us see that in the midst of our chaotic world, that indeed there were families that were strong and weren't chaotic. And so I want to encourage you, for you to leave here today, no longer thinking I don't have a testimony because I've not been through stuff. I'm telling you today, you flat have a testimony, and we need to hear it. Can I get an amen, amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. So in my situation, I grew up in a very violent, abusive, alcoholic home where guns and knives and abuse on every level were present. The police were out at our house a lot, and it messes you up as a child. And my mom stayed in it for a little over 20 years, and we hooked into a local church that was able to surround my mom. She found the courage to get out, and I'm sitting here a product of small groups, my friends. As I was a little girl, but I remember some of the most precious memories I have were because of that small group. And so they came together in that love and that support and helped get us out of that situation. So the first thing I want us to look at today in your notes is to, as we grow in life, is, and in womanhood, that we learn to value our position. Value the position first as a woman. In this day and age, media is doing all kinds of stuff. And the news is doing all kinds of stuff to try to convince women that they are something that they are not. And so we want to value our position. We know that that role will never leave us. It's in front of us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can't run away from it. We may think we can, but we cannot run away. You know, Proverbs 31:30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, and I'm here to testify that I'm getting up there in middle age now, and you know, the charm and the beauty ain't like it was back in the day, and things are starting to drop and shift and do all kinds of craziness, and I'll spend a little bit more time at the beauty shop, you know what I'm saying? So with all that being said, I Woo. Just want my testimony.
Glory to God.
We said it was going to be interesting or turn into a comedy show, you know, one or the other. But I just want to go out knowing that I was a woman that feared the Lord, you know. So do I sit up here today having any regrets? I sure do. I sure do. One of my regrets is that I didn't spend more time with my boys when they were little. And I think, as you know, the saying is, hindsight's 20/20, right? I would want to change that. But you know, above all, my second regret is a regret that I'm still actively working on changing, because I still have at least, you know, another 40 years ahead of me. And that is that I wish I would have listened more and talked less. Now, one of it is indicative of my personality, because I'm, as you can tell, I like to talk. But I look back at times, not just with the boys, and even this played a role in my marriage, my first marriage, and even other major relationships in my life, that I just needed to zip it back then too. And so in knowing those things about yourself, I think that's the beauty of growing older, right? You do that self-evaluation, and then we can lean wholeheartedly into Philippians 3:13 and 14 that says that this one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what's ahead. And I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. I will not live in that regret. I will learn from those things and hopefully impart those things into my kids, my grandkids, and maybe even some of you.
I just also want to just say this as from a child's perspective and being a son, it, you know, the role of a mother is so important to God. And man, moms, we need you. Women, we need you. I'll tell you that as a fact, whether you have kids or not, God has placed sovereignly within you as women, man, a strong nurturing gift. And I'm blessed to have an incredible mother and a wife who models things so well for me. But there's also been some spiritual moms in my life that I am so thankful for. And we have some of those right, even right here in our church. But I just want to encourage you of the importance of you and your value, that God values you, and that you are important to God, that you're a part of what God is doing in the earth today. And man, he needs you and we need you. And I want to read a verse to you out of Proverbs 31 that says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And I just think what an incredible testimony to be said about a woman of God, that you surpass them all, that you're leading well. And it's not, you know, one of the reasons why I love that video before we started today, because that's the reality of the way a lot of you moms do feel at times. It's, you're under the mom load, and there's a lot happening. But to remember that God has graced you so much. Wherever he positions you, he's graced you. And so that you're not ever doing anything under your power, but where he's placed you, there's a grace to be able to help carry you. So I want to encourage you of your importance and of your value.
So number two, we're going to look at value the process, ladies, in every step of this journey in womanhood and motherhood, because like Pastor Kyle was saying, this is rough. This is hard. You know, I lean into declarations of faith and, you know, being positive and words of life. But, you know, when the rubber hits the road, some days are just so stinking hard, right? Yeah. It's just hard. And I think for us, a lot of times as women, we ask ourselves the question, holy cow, am I even doing this thing right? You understand what I'm saying? It's like, wow, Lord, do I even have this together? So I just want to say that we can't quit. God's graced us as women. The Bible talks that he's clothed us with strength and dignity. And so there's few things that God just has put on us uniquely as women that we continue to walk into. So we're going to touch a few things today, a couple backstories of our family. And some of these things you may know, some things you may not know. But I was married to the boys' dad for 17 years, and we ended in divorce. And I want to say up front that that was not a decision that was made overnight. It was not a choice of just an emotional year, all right? Several times throughout our marriage, we pursued spiritual counseling and we pursued, you know, professional counseling, marital counseling. And there just came that point in time that I had to have that talk with the boys and just say, this is what we have to do. I'm telling you, God hates divorce. I'm telling you, going through a divorce, I hate it for anybody that goes through it. It rips your soul apart. It rips your kids apart. And it's not in the mind of God. It's not his desire. But I'm not up here to condemn anybody, because I too have been in that place. But I'm here to tell you that if you have been through divorce, you know precisely what I'm saying. And in that, I want you to hear me say, there is a Savior that gets it. There is a redeeming factor of the Master that can come into situations that we never, ever, going through the hurt of it, could ever see. How is this going to be all right? How is this going to work? And I know after the divorce was over that I began to seek the Lord, because I did not want the aftermath of the divorce that I went through to be crazy nutso zoo. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want crazy family picnics and people popping into my house and weird stuff going on, because it happens, right? I just didn't want it to happen. So, and I knew looking forward to, my grandchildren too. I didn't want them up around craziness. So I went to Romans 15:13, and I began to pray this and hold God accountable to his word. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This I'm telling you today. That's precisely what the Lord did for me, and he honored that. He filled me with joy. He filled me with great peace. And I'm here to tell you, yes, family has got stuff, but my relationship with my ex-husband, listen up now, it's good. There is a God, all right? Number two, my relationship with his wife is good. Their relationship with my husband is good. We all come to the same church, and we can worship together. All of us can raise our hands and worship together.
Come on, somebody.
I'm here to tell you that's God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that's a modern-day miracle, all right? So I'm speaking hope to you, and I am having fun with it, but it is the power of what God can do when you trust that he'll make everything all right. And that man is not the man I knew 20-some years ago. Amen? God, only God.
Yeah, and I think out of it, both of them are different people. And I just want you to know, too, and just saying really what she's already said, I don't want to rehash much, except just to say, man, I'm so thankful for new beginnings, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so no matter where you're at in the journey, I'm telling you, God specializes in doing things in the new.
Yes.
And taking our brokenness and, man, just putting us back together again. And so I know we've learned so much through that. And it is nice to be able to be in the same church and have step parents that like each other and it not be a zoo or crazy, or however you said it. But everybody gets along. But I think it's a testimony. I do. I think it's unique. And I'm thankful for my parents humbling themselves in that way and working through years of stuff. It was good. And here's what I know, that most people, though, do run from trouble. And I've just learned, whatever you don't confront, you tolerate. And whatever you tolerate will dominate you. And so we have got to make the decision in our lives, in our marriages, in our families, that sometimes it's healthy for healthy confrontation. And I think one thing that she said that was so good is she said, man, I wish I would have listened more. I'm trying to do that now, is learn and learning from those things. And I think listening more, because here's the deal. Reason why we don't like to confront things is because we like comfort. We like peace. I mean, I don't want to ruffle the feathers, but some things deserve your confrontation. And I'll say it again. It turns into tolerating things. And you start giving permission to things to live and to act or to do, and then all of a sudden it's dominating. And so there's a whole nother message to that, but there's hope in God. And I just know God uses our discomfort as a school of character training for us. God cares way more about your comfort, or way more, excuse me, about your character than your comfort, because you're taking your character into heaven with you, not your careers. He cares more about you as a man and woman of God and what you're destined to be. And I love this in 1 Corinthians 13. I'd love for you to help me read this too. And everybody say love.
Love.
All right, now read this with me. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I love another part of this chapter, the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13, of that love keeps no record of wrongs. So it's not reminding you and throwing you in the face what happened 5 years ago. Because when we really truly forgive, we've truly moved on from it. And I think what's so important about this, aren't you thankful for that verse that it's not Jesus sometime protecting, sometime trusting, sometime hoping, sometime his love perseveres, but always. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for that radical promise that in the midst of my issues, in the midst of my shortcomings, in the midst of my weaknesses, that God in his amazing unconditional love, which is new every morning for you and I to wake up to know that it's always he's moving with that level of compassion towards you and I. I'm thankful for it. Anybody thankful for it? So here's the other side of this that I would say, you know, and when you talk about the process, a lot of people want the destination. They don't want to go through the process. And I will always tell you, some of John Maxwell's greatest books that he's ever written, he talks a lot about this with character and process, because a process is what is making you. It's what's defining you. A lot of people want to forfeit the process, but man, you don't want to forfeit the process. I've known a lot of people, even in my life, that are gifted in great things, but their character lacks. And so your giftings will take you places that your character can't keep you. It's your character and who you are and who God has called you to be that's going to sustain you when the winds are blowing and the rain is pouring. And that's character. How are you going to act and react? Are you with me, everybody? And so here's what I would say. You've got to expect problems. I said, man, Pastor, how would you be more positive on this Mother's Day? I'm positive you're going to have problems. Positive, all right? But here's the key. Stay committed to God. And I talked about this last week in our message, that a lot of times we just run to God when all hell is breaking loose. But I think one of the true signs of a follower of Christ is, are we following God when things are going good too? I think they're both real tests for us. So we've got to value the process. Romans says this, chapter 5, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
The third point today I want to talk about is to value people. You know, we need to fall in love with our family. And our family should be our biggest cheerleaders, our biggest support staff that we have. And that we need to fall in love with our church family. There's a reason God created this whole idea called church, the bride of Christ, and we need each other. You know, as I am growing older, my love and my respect for my mama has increased light years. It amazes me at almost 86 years old how absolutely brilliant my mother is. Does anybody agree? You go, my mama's a lot smarter than I thought she was. You know, I've got a sister that's 10 years older than I am, and I love her dearly. She's been through a lot in life, too. She's one of my mentors, and, you know, I value that relationship with her. My relationship with my brother is growing. We unfortunately experienced the loss of a sibling. I have a sister. She died at 43 of a massive stroke in her sleep. And so our family and my mom has endured that kind of grief, and that's big. If you have lost a sibling, it's a big deal, and a child, it's huge in your family. It has an impact on all those things. But I want to say just a little something about my church family through the years. Like I said, I was a product of small groups. But in 1998, I was diagnosed with a tumor that was sitting in a real odd place back behind my left ear. And along with that tumor, I was diagnosed with a chronic disease of the inner ear. That whole season set my life on a course I would have never imagined. I had just taken a staff position over at a church in Ohio, and the kids and I weren't even there 4 months. And all this came out. And you know, I look back on that, and my pastor at that time, wow, this is really intense on me today. At that time, he could have sent me home. He could have sent me back to Indiana, but he didn't. That whole church family rallied around us. And so, in the midst of the disease continuing to get worse, God did heal me of that tumor. I went back in and that tumor was gone, but the disease remained. Who can know the mind of God? I still sit here today. I have no answer for that, my friends, but I know my God is faithful.
Yeah.
And he does all things well.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. So as the degree or the disease progressed, it's a very vicious, nasty thing. It just throws you on the floor. You vomit, you know, profusely. You can't control it. I was up on the platform a couple different times, and the one evening in particular, I hit the deck, and I couldn't control myself. And so the ushering staff had to come up. This is in the middle of a service, and get me up off the platform and take me home. And they took me home. And they laid me in my bed. And when I was able to get my bearings enough to know what's going on, when I was able to see what was going on, and I looked up, my pastor's wife and some of the women of the church and Kyle were surrounding me up in my bed, praying for me. That is the power of the local church, my friends. I went on to, you know, just suffer with this at a very dark degree. And in dealing with this, I went through a 10-year period of time. And in that 10 years, I tried to commit suicide 3 different times. And I was put into a mental hospital. I tell you these things today for 2 reasons. One, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen. Amen.
That's the word of God. That's my word. Number 2, I am here to tell you there is no pit. There is no darkness. There is no black part at the back of a cave that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot reach into and lift you up and put your feet on the solid rock. There is no place. I woke up the next morning in a mental institution, and I'm here to tell you the Spirit of God was sitting on the chair next to my bed saying, I'm not done with you yet. That's the God we serve. You can't go too far. You can't go too long. He will find you.
Amen.
Where you're at. So fast forward. And the disease had progressed and was just awful. But God in his sovereignty chose Fort Wayne, Indiana to put together a team of doctors. And so it's the prayers of my kids and other family members. And you, Elevate, so many of you remember 6 years ago when I would fly in and out and the condition I was in. And praise be to the Lord that within 3 years and new meds and less meds and some physical therapy changes, you're seeing God right here in a manifested testimony of the goodness of God and the healing power of Jesus Christ on Mother's Day, sitting up here with both my boys, my daughter-in-law, and my grandbabies in this house. He is the God that heals. We need each other. We cannot do life alone.
Amen. Amen. Ephesians 1:16, it says, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Love that verse. And just quickly, I will say, man, if you don't have some traditions within your family, start them. Begin something. We do in our family and holidays, but not just holiday time, just different things around the year that we like to do together as a family. So my mom gave you the what, I want to give you the how, and I got to move quick here for time's sake here, and I want to encourage you to do these things today. And for some, it's time to call home. For some, it may be time to call your mom, your father, your relatives. Maybe it's someone who's been in your life that's been like family to you that you haven't talked to in some time. But here's the first one. I want you to jot this down if you would with me, that call home and build them up. Build them up. Never tear down. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So my grandma always used to say, man, Kyle, if you don't have anything good to say, she didn't say, don't say anything at all. She said, keep your mouth shut. Yes, ma'am. And I think that's good wisdom. And I think you've got to always from time to time evaluate yourself. Scripture says to do this, to examine yourself. And man, is what's coming out of your mouth? Is it more life or is it more death? Are you speaking more for things or against things? For people, against people. What do you want to be known for? And I think it's important for us to think about what we are saying. And so, I was thinking of, obviously, this week as we were preparing this, my grandfather who passed a few weeks ago, most of you know, and I was thinking about one of my last memories, again, with him, with Bethany and I and our kids surrounding him, and just seeing him smile, just seeing him laugh again is the memory I'm going to cherish the rest of my life. But it got me to thinking this week. I've done a lot of funerals in my life. And I'm just going to be real honest with you this morning and express something that I've wanted to express for years after doing many, many funerals. I think I've earned the right to kind of say this, that, I get real tired of funerals, of everybody just getting up sometimes and saying, man, you know, I wish I would have told them this. I wish I would have reconciled that. And here's all I'm saying, everybody, is let's not wait for a tragedy or a funeral to happen to make the amends and see reconciliation happen again. I promise you, it's not worth it. Yes. I promise you, at the end of the day, it's not worth hanging on to. For what? For what? And it's not hurting them, it's hurting you more anyway. Yeah. And so you and I have to make the decision, man, to let that go in Jesus' name and allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And here's the other thing I know about family, because we all got crazy families sometimes, right? And if you don't have a crazy family, then you probably should be up here and talking about family. But everybody's got the crazy uncle. Everybody's got the crazy cousin. I've always said if you don't know who they are, it might be you. I don't know. But nonetheless, here's what I know. Sometimes you got to dig deep because there's issues going on. And he said, but Pastor, you all know. Like, they just mean. They mean. They don't deserve my love anymore. And da, da, da. Well, listen to me. Quit. Don't be the same way. Be nice to them. Let's do what Jesus would do, everybody. Amen. Jesus had some issues with some of the religious folk in his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they always thought they knew more than Jesus. Here's the thing about Jesus. Let me teach you one quick little characteristic point that I think is so crucial, and that is this, that he always loved them and always showed kindness to him, but he kept them at an arm's distance. Yes. I was like, you ain't getting any closer to me, but I'm going to love you. I'm going to tell you across the way, you mean a lot to me. I'm praying for you, glory to God, and hallelujah, I'm with you, but stay there. All right, no, but it's true, and so you just have to know within your heart, though, man, you got to love people, amen, because if you need the same love and grace and forgiveness from God, man, you better be able to release that towards people. And even family. Man, I could go on, but Romans 15, we who are strong, look at this, such a great verse, ought to bear with the failings of the weak. How many got some failings in the house? 12 of us, okay. How many got some failings in the house? All right, just making sure. And not to please ourselves, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. I love that, bear with the failings of people, man, who come up short. Man, I know it's tough, but keep loving them, keep encouraging them. You need people around you in your life that says, man, I'm going to stand with you. It's why I love relationships, small groups. It's the kind of relationships that you and I need that says, man, that burden in your life is my burden. Until we get a breakthrough in your life, man, I'm sticking with you through thick and thin. We're going to walk this thing out together. We're going to see God move. Amen? And so I think it's so important. Here's the second thing is this, and we've got to call home and reaffirm our love. One of the greatest moments of my life was also one of the hardest moments of my life when I was in, many years ago, sick and in a coma for weeks and came out of that coma, and it was who I was surrounded by. I was surrounded by my family, and I was surrounded by my church family, but they all family to me, and reaffirming my love to them and letting them know. Can I just tell you, man, the power of I love you is crucial, and never take life for granted. I think the thing that experience did for me is I just look at every day much different because I realize how close we all are to eternity. I was on the doorstep of eternity, man. I was close, and so I don't want any regrets going with me. Amen. The Galatians says the only love that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And here's what I know. Some aren't able to love because of your love history, and you don't love yourself. And part of the reason why you don't love yourself is because you haven't really fully received the full-on love of God. And God wants to heal your heart today, and he wants to allow the capacity of that love to grow in you today. And so you say, man, where do I begin? You begin by receiving the love of God, going all in. And some of you may be dealing with loneliness today. God brought you here on this day to experience the love and power of God through him and his presence, but through love through others as well, so that you could feel what that knows and feels like. And so some of us have been dealing with this for a long time, and I'm just saying this, freedom is for everybody, and God wants to set you and I free today and to help you and I love again. Can I hear a good amen in the house? Amen. And so here's the final thing I want to give you, and we're going to pray in just a second, that we need to call home, and we need to pray. Just not talk about it, but let's put some action to our steps. I think there's so many times that I've had people come to me through the years and looking for answers, but all I do is point them back to Christ because he's the one that has the answers. We've just got to draw closer to him. It's prayer that makes the difference. It's prayer that makes the difference. It says this in James 5:16, pray for one another. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And I just wanted you to know one of the greatest privileges that we have as pastors is praying for you every week. And through it daily, and just calling your names out and your families before the Lord and praying that God's grace would continue. We need to cry out for God's grace in our families. Amen. We need it. We know that, man, there's a lot of challenges in the home, but I promise you, it's worth the fight. Continue to lean in and listen. It's only, progression, solution is only going to happen by you and I staying on our knees in prayer. That's the key. And so praying for your family. So I want to leave you with a great verse today in 2 Corinthians 12. It says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I love that God knows and understands me enough that he made me, and he also realizes I have a lot of flaws and weaknesses. But I love the fact that if I go to him, that his grace is sufficient for me, and actually his power is working its best as I'm overcoming my shortcomings. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Would you just bow your heads right where you're at? We're going to pray for you, and we're going to close this service today by, we're going to pray for you moms out there today, that some of you are under the mother load of things. There's a lot of things that are going on within the home and your life, and you're trying to figure things out. We're going to pray for marriages as well today. We're going to pray for relationships in our families. We're going to pray for those who are lonely to be set in families. And then we're going to just ask God to keep the families of our church strong.
So, Father, today in the name of Jesus, I lift up every woman. Father, I thank you for how you made us. I thank you for our uniqueness in the earth, Lord. But Holy Spirit, I ask today, would you comfort those under the sound of my voice right now, Lord, that may be struggling in the different areas that we've touched today? May you show yourself strong to them today. Father, for those that are just under that mother load, as Pastor Kyle said, Lord, that you would lighten the load, however that looks like, Lord. You know each situation, and we thank you for doing it. I thank you, Lord, for that wisdom, direction, to come to moms that and women that are needing to make major life decisions in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over the family unit today. I pray over marriages, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, even as we talked about the issue of divorce openly today, Lord, Father, I ask on behalf of any today, if it be possible, God, change minds, change hearts. And Lord, if they're walking into the midst of it, Lord, that you would bring comfort and spiritual oversight to bring healing into every situation. Lord, that our marriages would be strong so our families would be strong. Lord, that the local church would be strong. I pray for any of those dealing with the orphan's heart today, Lord, that just don't feel like they know where they belong. You set them in families, Father. I ask even today, Holy Spirit, would you begin to draw them to the small groups that they need to be in, that they will feel that. And Holy Spirit, would you just go before every small group leader this next semester? Lord, that each person can find their place. Each person can move forward, Lord, in what you've given us to do. Thank you for the strength that comes from heaven and that you freely give to us. I give you honor for that today, Lord.
If you would just continue to keep your head bowed, we always want to give an opportunity. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, before you leave here, you can't. And I'm telling you, man, He loves you so much. And if you're here and you don't know Him, or maybe you've drifted from God and He's just not been a priority in your life, but you realize today, man, I need to set God back in the place in my life as priority. If that's you, in the count of three in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand where you're at, and then you can put it right back down. We're all going to pray a prayer together, and I just want to ask you to be bold before God. And if you say, man, Kyle, that's me, I need to commit, and I need to prioritize that relationship with Jesus and make it real today. That's what it's about. It's about a relationship, always has been. And I'm telling you today, more than anything else, God wants your heart. If He has your heart, He has your life. So on the count of three, if that's you, one, two, three in this place. Amen. Yeah. Gotcha. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Hands up. Yeah. Thank you for those hands. Proud of you guys. Awesome. You can put your hands down. I want to lead you in a prayer in church. Let's pray with these guys today as we join in this together and just say, Jesus, I need you. I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me for living my life my way. Today I invite you to be the Lord of my life. Take control of my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Give me the power to change. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come on, let's give God a great big hand this morning, church. Come on, for all these.